Can you turn, please, tonight in your Bible to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings and to the chapter 4. That's 2 Kings chapter 4. And breaking in at the verse number 18 in our reading tonight. That's 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. As we come into this reading, we're in the life and times of Elisha. And verse 18, we read, "And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. And she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her. And say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, The child is not awaked. When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned, and walked in the house to and fro, and went up, and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times. The child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi, and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. And we'll end the reading at verse 37, knowing that the Lord will bless this reading of his word to our hearts. 2 Kings chapter 4, I want to draw your attention to the portion. But perhaps we could read verses 32 and 33. We read there now, And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. Now as we approach this stage of 2 Kings, Elisha is set forth before us as a busy prophet. Now long finished following in the footsteps of Elijah, Elisha's prophetic ministry was well underway. Verse 1, we didn't take time to read it tonight, but verse 1 mentions the sons of the prophets. Now, they were young men who were essentially being trained and taught in a school which raised the next generation of prophets. Now, Elisha, he was a leader of one of these schools, and so he was constantly on the move, moving from to and moving from fro to fro as a spearhead in the service of God. And as Elisha's ministry was normally focused on the northern parts of Israel, it comes as no surprise to us to find that he was familiar with the city of Shunem. Shunem at that time was a main trade route. And in verse 8, it speaks of a day simply that Elisha passed through Shunem, indicating that he regularly passed through this city. As Elisha was accustomed to pass through this city, he became friendly with a godly couple who essentially built a sort of a room for him in their house so that he could use as a drop-in center whenever he was passing through that city. Verses 11 to 14, we find Elisha coming to his servant Gehazi and simply asking Gehazi to go to this couple to see how he might reward them for their generosity and their hospitality. And after discovering that this godly couple were childless, we then find in verse 17 that Elisha, under the help of God, he granted this godly couple a child in their old age. No sooner had this child been given to this couple than sadly he was taken away again. As we find in this portion, their young child sadly died. But we find no sooner had this child died than the mother, saddling up a donkey and riding to the bottom of Mount Carmel and coming to Elisha, she told Elisha about her dead child back at home and informing Elisha, the miracle-working prophet, informing Elisha that her child was dead. We find Elisha then, just as soon as he heard that news, running back to their house in Shunem and raising this child miraculously from its death and raising it back to life. And as this child was physically, so all stand before God spiritually. As this child was dead to the prophet Elisha, so all stand before God tonight as dead to the Lord. If you're outside of Christ and not saved, I would say to you is you are just like this child, dead in your sins. You might ask me tonight, well, preacher, how am I dead in my sin? Well, if I was to ask you to examine your own heart, to examine your own life, and ask yourself, is there really any spiritual life within you? Have you any desire to read your Bible? Have you any desire to pray? Have you any desire to come before God? Have you any desire for a relationship with Him? And you were the answer to me tonight, no. Then that is how you are dead to the Lord. Dead in the sense that there is no spiritual life within you. Indeed, in Colossians chapter 2, we read in the verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. The verb quickened, it simply means to be made alive. And Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, he's previously stated that they were dead in their sins and the uncircumcision of their flesh. And that is why they needed to be quickened. That is why they needed to be made alive by Christ. You see, in your natural condition, you're not alive to God, but rather you are dead to God. And tonight you need just what this child experienced, as he experienced that physical resurrection. So tonight you're in need of a greater resurrection. You're in need of a spiritual resurrection. You're in need of God to come and to raise you to life, to give you that desire, to give you that spiritual life, and to grant you that desire to walk with Him. And so tonight I want to consider very simply the dead child who was raised to life. the dead child who was raised to life. I want you to notice firstly with me the death he encountered. In verse 18, we read of it speaks of the father being out with the reapers as it was harvest time and rushing out to see his dad at work. This child, he sadly died. Notice two things about this death. Notice here firstly the reason for his death. In verses 19 and 20, we find the reason being spelled out for us. As we read, he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. It was harvest time. And as any young lad would love to go out and give his dad a helping hand, bring in the harvest, so this young lad was no different. He went out to the fields to visit his dad, to see his dad working hard, labouring hard. And as he went out, we read in verse 19 that he took a pain in his head. The harvest time was known for being extremely warm in Israel and very hot weather-wise. And Bible commentators believe that the reference to the pain in this child's head was probably a heat or a sunstroke. This young child, he going out to see his father, what happened to him? He contracted a deadly sickness. And we only find that in a couple of hours later, that he was carried back from the field and carried and laid upon his mother's knees. And then sadly, in verse 20, at noon, we read this child tragically died. You see, the reason for his death was because of a sickness that he contracted. I would say to you tonight that his disease led to his death. And it reminds us of the results of sin. You see, the results of sin, they're not miniature. The results of sin are massive. The results of sin are spiritual and eventual eternal death. And tonight, every individual in this meeting, they suffer from a spiritual disease. Just as this child had a physical disease, so you suffer from a spiritual disease. And that disease is sin. And my friend, the result of this sin, the result of sin in your life, it's tragic. And my friend, it's dreadful. It is that eventual eternal death. The Bible tells us that if you continue on in your sin and you persist on in your sin, that eventually, whenever the Lord returns, your body will be reunited with your soul. And the book of Revelation tells us that your body and soul united will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. What a terrible end for your sin. Indeed, in James 1 verse 15, the Bible tells us, "Lust, when it has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." What happens when sin, it finishes? And the word there, "finish," in the original, it carries the idea of the childbirth. Just as the child is brought to life, brought to birth, so sin, when it is born in the heart, what is its result? It is death. Death. And my friend, as you are depraved before God, so you are dead before Almighty God. And as this child stood physically, so tonight you stand before God spiritually. Perhaps I'm even preaching to you now. And really, it's just like water off a duck's back. There's no impact. There's no concern for soul. There's no anxiety. Well, that's because you're dead. You're absolutely dead. Dead before the Lord. You know, if you were to travel to Red Square in the city of Moscow and arrive at Red Square, you'd probably be confronted by a big queue. That queue would be queuing to view the body of Vladimir Lenin. Lenin died in 1924, almost 100 years ago. But his body to this day, it remains perfectly preserved. Whenever there's a slightest sign of decay in that body, a skilled artist will come, will take its tools and will try to preserve that body in its original condition. And they fix it using wax. But my friend, that man might look as lifelike as possible. But the reality is, he's dead. He's dead. He's just a corpse. And tonight, like that man, spiritually speaking, you might look as lifelike as possible. But within, you know as well as I know, within, you are but a corpse. Just like this child. Here's this child. Why was it that he tragically died? It was because of a disease. A disease led to his death. There was the reason for his death. Notice here also the season of his death. In verse 18 we read, when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. The word grown here, it rather indicating that he was fully grown, it simply means that he wasn't an infant anymore. Verse 19 confirms this. When he took ill, there was a young lad. He was able to throw this child over his shoulders and carry him back to his mother. If he was a fully grown lad, I don't think this servant would have had such joy in throwing him over his shoulder. Again, verse 20 indicates he was still a young child because his mother affectionately took him and placed him on his knee. Even after he died, his mother was able to carry him upstairs and lay him on the prophet's bed. Commentators believe that this child was between the ages of 5 and 7 years of age. And tragically, despite this child's age, despite this child's youth, the reality was that he was still tragically deaf. You see, spiritual death, it affects the old as well as the young. And tonight, it doesn't matter what your age, you are spiritually dead to God. And yes, tonight you might be young. And while sin might not be prevalent, it might not really all be that obvious in your life, it's still very much present. You're born and you remain spiritually dead to God. Whether you be old or whether you be like this child, very young indeed. Indeed, Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20, it tells us that there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And here Solomon reminds us that there's no one on earth, no one on this earth can proudly say that they have never sinned before Almighty God. And one of the effects of sin is, of course, spiritual death. You see, the effects of sin, they are not evaded by the age of the sinner. And tonight, no matter what age you are, no matter what season of life you're in, if you're without Christ, if you've never experienced that spiritual resurrection in your life, and you're just like this child, dead and dead to the Lord. And so we think here firstly about the death he encountered. But notice secondly here, thinking about this child, notice the devotion he enjoyed. The devotion he enjoyed. This young lad's mother was well known. She was recognized in society. Verse 8 describes her as a great woman. And the reference to her being great here, it doesn't refer to her standing in society so much as her standing before the Lord, because it refers to her character. In summarizing her as great, really we're reading here about a very spiritual mother indeed. And in looking at how she cared for her dead child, notice here two things about this devotion. Notice here her devotion was faithful. Coming to her husband carrying her dead child, verse 23 we read, and he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. This woman was a very spiritual lady indeed. Immediately after her child died, her reaction was to lay the child on the bed of Elisha. You see, she knew that if there was one person on this earth who could raise her child to life, it was the prophet Elisha. So what did she do? She then called her husband, told her husband to saddle an ass, a donkey, and to get that donkey ready so that she could ride to the bottom of Mount Carmel and find the prophet Elisha. And she would do all that she could to see her son raised to life. But she faced discouragement. Her husband discouraged her. In verse 23, he asked the question, "Wherefore, where wilt thou go to him today? Is neither new moon nor Sabbath?" And he was essentially saying here to this mother, there's no point in going out to look for Elisha. It's not a religious day. It's not the Sabbath day. You'll never find Elisha on such a day like today. But what was her response? She said, "It shall be well." In other words, she was saying to her husband, "I believe that our son's going to be raised to life. It'll be well. It'll be fine." The word "well," it simply means peace. And she's essentially saying, all will be peaceful. Again, in verse 26, we find this young mother, or this mother, she rides to the bottom of Mount Carmel. She meets Gehazi. And look at the question he asks her. We find there that he asks her, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?" And again, how does she answer? She answers, "It is well." Stop and think about that for a moment. Her son is lying dead at home. And she's asked, "How is her son?" And her son, really, the situation seems hopeless. But what's her response? "It is well. It is well." And I believe here that this mother, she is essentially saying to Gehazi that he's as good as raised again. She's saying to Gehazi that she believed that Elisha was going to raise her son back to life. And so this dead child, he enjoyed the devotion of a mother who believed he would soon be raised to life. And tonight, perhaps this is a picture of you. While you're dead in your sins, you enjoy the devotion of a loved one. Perhaps you have a faithful relative who believes that Christ can and Christ will raise you to life. Perhaps you have a praying parent, a faithful friend, a relentless relative, someone in your life who constantly says things like this to you: "I believe you'll be saved. I believe that Christ can transform your life. I believe that Christ can raise you from the dead." Someone in your life constantly faithful to you, witnessing to you, preaching at you, warning you, telling you that Christ could raise you back to life. Have you someone like this mother in your life, believes that Christ is going to save you, that Christ is going to raise you? Indeed, you remember Matthew chapter 8, how there was a Roman centurion who came to Christ, asked him to heal his servant. He left his servant sick at home, traveled a day's journey from Capernaum to meet the Lord. And even though he was far away from his house where his sick servant lay, we find that this Roman centurion, he came to Christ and he asked Christ to heal his servant. And he said in Matthew 8, verse 8, "Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." And he was essentially saying to Christ that, "Yes, my servant, he's sick. He's about a day's journey back at home. But Lord, all you have to do is speak. Lord, all you have to do is give him health. And he will be restored back to full health." And whilst you are apathetic, surely your loved one tonight, they remain adamant. Perhaps you have a family member, a friend, someone who is adamant that Christ can and will make you spiritually alive. Have you someone like that in your life? Someone who believes that Christ is going to save you. Someone who believes that Christ has that ability, he has that authority to raise you to life. You know, there's a young Christian man who joined the army, but the men in the barracks gave him a very difficult time. Every time he got before the bedside and prayed, the men would get out their old dirty shoes and they would throw them at that young Christian. Eventually, he found this too much. He reached breaking point. And he went to the army chaplain to ask him for some advice. The army chaplain told that young man just simply to stay in bed, to pray in bed, to throw the covers over him, just to basically be a secret disciple, not to make such a big fuss, and everything would be okay. You know, a couple of months later, that young Christian man, he was walking the corridors of the barracks and he bumped into the chaplain, and The chaplain asked him, "Well, son, how did that work for you?" And the young soldier answered, "Well, yes, for 2 nights it worked. But after a while, I felt like a whipped hound. The third night I got out of bed, I knelt down and I prayed anyway." The chaplain said, "Well, how are things going for you now, doing that?" He said, "Great. We have a prayer meeting now in my room every night. 3 have been saved, and we're praying for the rest." And tonight, perhaps that is you. You have a relative, and they're praying believingly that you'll be raised to life. Your devotion, it was faithful. She had that faith that the Elisha was going to raise him. But notice also concerning her devotion that it was fervent. In verse 22, we read that she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." This mother, she believed her son was going to be raised to life. And because of this, it impacted everything that she did. Everything that she did, this mother, it seemed to be in a rush. It seemed to be in a hurry. She did everything fervently and as quickly as she could. In verse 24, we see that in writing to Elisha, we read that she said to her servant, "Drive, go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." In other words, she was saying to the young servant who was riding the donkey, "Don't stop at anything. Don't stop. Don't even stop if you meet someone. Don't stop unless I tell you." And you know, it sums up her attitude to the whole thing, doesn't it? She wouldn't stop at anything until her son was sitting back alive again in her lap. She was fervent in seeing him raised back to life. And tonight, whilst your loved one is faithful, surely they are also very, very fervent. It seems that they will stop at nothing until you are raised to life. You know what I'm talking about. That devoted dad who always asks you to go to church. That maternal mother who, in her loving, genuine, caring way, constantly warns you about your need of a saviour. Perhaps you even have that unrelenting relative who will stop at nothing until you're won for Christ. Have you such an individual in your life? Such a one in your life? One who believes that Christ can and will raise you to life, and because of that, they'll stop at nothing. Stop at nothing until you're saved. You know, once in Chicago, D.L. Moody stepped up to a stranger. He simply asked him, "Sir, are you a Christian?" The man was a well-to-do businessman, and he turned to Moody and he said, "Young man, mind your own business." Moody responded quickly. He said to him, "Sir, this is my business." And the man then said, "Ah, I know who you are. You're crazy, Moody. Everybody talks about you in this place." You see, in those days, D.L. Moody was known as Crazy Moody because he witnessed to virtually everyone he came into contact. And perhaps tonight you have a relative in your life and you think they're absolutely crazy. You think they're absolutely bonkers. You think they've lost it because they come to you and they say you're going to be saved. You're going to become a Christian. That Christ will raise you to life. Here's this mother. And what a picture. What a picture even of a passionate soul winner. Child of God, take her to heart. You take her even as a good example as to how we should see our loved ones won to the Saviour. But there was the death he encountered, the devotion he enjoyed. But lastly, notice thinking about this child, the deliverance he experienced. In verse 34 we read, "He went up, lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm." After hearing the pleas of this concerned mother, Elisha, he dropped everything that he was doing, and at once he went to the house of this dead child. However, verse 31 tells us, interestingly, that Gehazi, Elisha's servant, he passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Elisha came to his servant Gehazi, gave him his staff, and told him, Elisha, pass on before us. See if you can raise this child to life with my staff. And here's Elisha's servant Gehazi. He's confronted with this dead child, tries every trick in the book, so to speak, that he knows, throws the staff and tries to raise this child to life, but he can't. He's just a servant of the prophet. Absolutely useless. You see, it was only the prophet who could raise this child to life. And once he arrived in the house, he shut the door. It was just him and this dead child. Elisha the prophet, he meant business. He got down on his knees. He stretched himself upon the child. He covered himself from head to toe. He then interceded for the child. And we find him raising this child miraculously back to life. And whilst the servants of Christ might be passionate, ultimately they're powerless. Like Gehazi, we can try to raise you to life, but we can't. It's only the greater prophet. It's only Jesus Christ himself. He alone can grant you that spiritual resurrection that you need. And through his death on the cross, he's the only one who can save you. He's the only one that you can come to God through. He's the only one that will grant you forgiveness for your sin. And it's Christ and Christ alone who can save you. What a picture. This dead child raised to life. Tragically died when very young. And we find this mother coming to Elisha, telling Elisha about this child. And Elisha the prophet, he raised this child to life. And tonight Christ too, he can give you that spiritual life. And he can raise you from your spiritual deadness. May God bless this word to your heart and life this evening.